Imagine trying to track the spread of the coronavirus with fax machines. Well, that's happening. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. In some cases, tech has been a game changer in the battle against coronavirus. But it turns out there's a big tech bottleneck in the system, and that's public health departments. These government agencies are chronically underfunded, and now, as health officials try to track the spread of coronavirus, some health officials do not have tech on their side, like at all. Dan Gorenstein has been reporting on this. He's the executive producer and co-host of the healthcare policy podcast, Trade-Offs.
Even though we've spent about $100 billion in private and public dollars over the last decade to sort of up how much we digitize health data, public health departments haven't kind of been part of that infrastructure upgrade. And so they're not able to necessarily receive that data, even though the hospital could send it or your doctor could send it. The public health department might not have the infrastructure to receive that data.
I mean, when you say infrastructure too, one official told you they were working, quote, as if computers didn't exist. Like, how bad is this? What tools are we talking about here?
We're talking about fax machines, spreadsheets, telephones. We talked to the deputy epidemiologist in the state of Minnesota. He's got two full-time employees that spend all day, every day, just calling and emailing around the state's hospitals to gather a couple of basic data points, like how many COVID cases do they have and how many are in the ICU.
Like, what could help here? I mean, is there a common link that points to what is preventing all of this from being faster? Is it really just down to money and investment?
No, it's not just money and investment, although like money is huge and public health departments need a big slug of it. And there was some funding Congress has made available for public health departments. But there are a couple other pieces that are really needed here. I think there's a lot of confusion among hospitals and doctors and labs who are getting these tests, these COVID tests. And people have questions around HIPAA. What sort of information can be shared with public health departments? What sort of information cannot be shared? Federal health authorities have begun to offer some guidance and some clarity on that, but more clarity is needed. And I think that there also needs to be a real willingness on the part of the providers, the hospitals and the doctors and the labs to really sort of want to do this. You know, these hospitals, as we know, are like completely under fire to just try to deal with the day-to-day realities. What's the incentive for them to make sure they're helping out their public health department? And so they probably need some sort of incentive for them to make sure they're looping in their public health departments, which probably means money, but also means some leadership at the state and federal level too.
It sounds like you're saying there's a historic underinvestment in public health. Then that creates huge barriers to getting data to have public health departments, such as fax machines or carrier pigeon. And then on top of that, there's just not a lot of reason to like step out of the immediate crisis and make sure you're collating all of this information in a spreadsheet and then sending it via pigeon.
The reason is probably there. I think the question is capacity. That's a real crisis for lots of hospitals. Where's the time and space to be thinking about this secondary or tertiary concern about making sure public health departments are hooked up with the data that they need? One of the most interesting things that we came across was a lot of people use this metaphor about highways and data and technology being this sort of super highway. And I think when it comes to health data infrastructure and tech, it's kind of like we do have some super highways. Hospitals are really good at sharing information with each other if they want. Doctors can share information with hospitals if they want. But when it comes to the public health departments, it's kind of like there's no on-ramp to this super highway. And so these public health departments have to use these like bumpy back roads to get to where they need to go. But now, given that now that data needs to move faster than this disease, everybody's starting to realize like, oh my gosh, we need to get these public health departments in the loop.
What could happen in the short term to get those departments in the loop? Or is this going to be left to, you know, Google and Apple and Microsoft and whatever private entity steps in to do data collection?
In the short term, there have been a couple of proposals to try to beef up public health infrastructure on the quick. And one of the ideas is to make better use of electronic health systems like the electronic health records. Several systems around the country are piloting something called electronic case reporting, which basically just adds a feature to the hospital's electronic health records that automatically sends a patient's record off to the public health department as soon as a coronavirus test or symptom appears in their record. Folks in Florida have done this. There's been a lot of success. Epidemiologists are really happy with this. But in the longer run, there really needs to be a serious investment from the federal government to make sure that the upgrades are happening.
Dan Gorenstein is the executive producer and co-host of the healthcare policy podcast, Trade-Offs. According to the Trust for America's Health, of the $3.5 trillion the U.S. spends on healthcare every year, only 2.5% goes to public health. And now for some related links. You can find a link to Dan's podcast at our website, marketplacetech.org, and a link to a report from that Trust for America's Health, which is a health policy think tank. It says public health lost something like 55,000 jobs between 2008 and 2017. Meanwhile, private investment in biotech has been on a tear in recent years, and so has investment in health tech overall. 2018 was a peak. Nearly $18 billion in venture capital went into biotech alone. In that same year, all 50 states spent a total of $11.9 billion on public health for, you know, everyone in America. And here's what else we're watching in tech. It's hard out there for a social media platform with incredible reach and an inconsistent approach to speech moderation. According to the Wall Street Journal, apparently Facebook did its own internal research and found that its engagement algorithms definitely did incentivize divisive content, could for sure polarize people, and that there were absolutely steps it could take to not do that. But then I guess the company just didn't want to. Advisors reportedly said it would be, quote, paternalistic, and that in the US, it would disproportionately affect conservative content. And who wants that headache, am I right? Right? Meanwhile, over on YouTube, the site has been automatically deleting comments that are critical of China's Communist Party and has apparently been doing so for months. And this is interesting for a number of reasons, one being all the other stuff on YouTube that isn't automatically deleted, despite being horrible or divisive or what have you, but also because how does that help YouTube at all when YouTube is banned in China? YouTube and parent company Google said the comment deletions are an error. But in something that actually looks like progress, Twitter has been trying to figure out how to deal with tweets that come from President Trump that contain conspiracy theories about murder, misinformation, or misleading information about elections without, you know, being a private company that decides whether the president of the United States has a voice on Twitter. So in arguably a huge move on Tuesday, Twitter actually put fact-check labels on some of Trump's tweets, the ones that made false claims about voting by mail. I cannot imagine this is going to go over well, but it's definitely a start. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.